My name is Jason Scott, and I write some of the worst computer scripts in the universe. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd, Peter Healy, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. In the realm of my life, both online and off, and going back forever with me in computers, I would meet people who were truly programmers. They were trained as programmers, or they had done incredible amounts of studying and learning from all sorts of materials, and had become programmers. Programming wasn't just something they did. It was a discipline they were a part of. There were theories behind programming, ideas and mores and rules that people would follow and understand or rebel against, but do it knowingly, doing it in a way that they were taking into consideration actual beliefs and then working from it to create a decision. None of it applied to me. I do love environments with computers. I love applications that drop you into a worksheet and then give you a bunch of commands and, if you're lucky, in real time, show you the results of those commands. In earlier times, you had to work on ideas, submit it as a batch, and then hope whatever came out the end was what you intended. I got a taste of that when I would do PostScript printing, and it had to be sent to the central school district, printed out, and then sent back to me by interoffice mail. But mostly, what I saw on the screen was the result of instantaneous calculation. I loved ray tracing. I loved paint programs and doing desktop publishing. I loved anywhere I could be creative within somebody else's environment. Writing my own environment or learning all of the different policies and processes that led to that environment, that just wasn't my department. To that end, over time, I definitely fell into the trap of thinking applications are the whole world. One theme I've found with computers is that people tend to choose a level, and that becomes the level at which they think the universe works. If you think about it for just even a moment, it all comes down to zeros and ones placed inside of machinery and chips running at incredible speeds, and the result of those ones and zeros are calculations in bytes and opcodes that themselves move up into operating systems and firmware. And then, on top of that, programs that function as applications and environments, and in those worlds, we could have even higher levels where you're presented with a web page that itself is calling on everything below it. And the human mind doesn't need extraneous information. In fact, it dedicates itself to getting rid of everything that isn't pertaining to the exact moment. Only training and experience and discipline will make you see even more than your lazy, lazy brain wants to show you. So while I knew that there were ones and zeros and that there were circuits and wires helping me to get where I was very comfortable just being told, draw from here to here, run this command, and something will happen. But over time, both with ray tracing and later doing things in Unix and DOS, I had to learn at least some fundamental commands and a command structure to be able to do the things I wanted. I could have typed a command over and over again in Unix, or I could learn how to do a shell script and execute those commands and then observe the results. It saved me time, so I learned it. But what I didn't learn were the theories about why those commands were structured that way to begin with. I certainly didn't understand any of the theories of computer science, why we made choices that were perhaps not as cool or powerful, but which could be manufactured according to opportunities of that particular computer company at that time. We might think we want a screen of a certain size, but not when it doubles or triples or quadruples the price. We might want this amount of memory, but not if it means the machine is never going to come out. Similarly, languages tend to have that as well. A language will provide a certain amount of help, but then also leave you to your own devices because it was thought at the time that you didn't need all these extraneous commands sitting around that nobody was going to use except for a tiny few. You would have languages that were written purely utilitarian so that they did the bare minimum of what was needed, ensuring they would be able to be run without taking up precious RAM away from programs that needed to be run at the same time. Engineering decisions, thoughtful decisions made from theories and beliefs that I myself never experienced. I was a film student. I could tell you about camera angles and film stock and coming up with a story by piecing together various scenes, but I could not tell you what anybody else was doing in the world of brackets and expressions and syntax. But over time, and to the present day, I've lived in those cozy environments. I write shell scripts all the time now. I do them whenever I have to do something more than a few times. Sometimes I get complicated. Sometimes I do error checking. Many other times I write things so poorly that looking back, I can't believe I committed this crime, this utter slap in the face of logic and meaning. I'll give you a very geeky example. Recently, I was uploading hundreds of DVD images from London pub recordings done by a man who had recorded all sorts of bands when he would go to pubs for a few years, and he had died and his son had sent me 2,500 DVDs. I imaged as many of them as I could, the ones that had survived bit rot, and discovered dozens of copies of a single event because he would bring it back a few weeks later and offer it to the bands for free. When the bands didn't take all of the copies, he would keep them. And so I was discovering very quickly that instead of 2,500, we were down to about 350. Still, 350 is a lot of DVDs. It's a lot of uploading at 4.5 gigabytes apiece. It's a lot of time to go through them. And most importantly of all, there's sometimes a little bit of difficulty in finding duplicates. I'd have to upload them, investigate on the thumbnails, and see what to do next. And so, in the process of uploading 1.5 terabytes of DVD ROMs, I wrote a program so filthy, so janky, that I actually went on Twitter to talk about it. Here's what it did. I was uploading 10 DVDs at the same time into one directory and then moving the completed ones over into another directory to be uploaded to the Internet Archive. The idea behind this was that the uploading machine was much closer to the archive and I could do command line uploads very quickly and leave my home machine just uploading as it could, subject to the necessary worries and concerns of a cable modem. But how do you automatically tell you've completed uploading? Unfortunately, the naming scheme didn't allow me to just look at when they were created. I had to figure it out another way. I wrote a script that would look at a file, wait 5 seconds, and look at the file again. If it was exactly the same size, it was probably done, and I could move it to the next directory. So there's a bunch of things that can go wrong with that calculus. And when I say janky and shameful and use self-incriminating terms, it's because I know everything that can go wrong. A pause in the uploads, a change in how they're being written, any change in the connection will cause it to think it's no longer uploading when it is. Which means running that script was like letting go with an automatic saw that had no guard, no handle, and you were just throwing it onto a pile of wood. you had to know what you were doing. No self-respecting, trained developer could possibly make something like that without some level of error correction and verification. But I'm not a trained programmer. My scripts range in quality. Some are incredibly involved and have actual error checking and approaches, and I have discovered in later cases that they are some of the most inefficient writing you could imagine. Cases where I could write something 10 times faster if I had only really understood how the commands work, where I had researched them and instead didn't use my own personal experience gathered up like little clumps of mud over the years of using that scripting language. Things got done, but they barely got done. Occasionally at work, someone will say, "Hey, maybe we could have copies of your scripts. Maybe you could document them." And I feel, honestly, like documenting them will be some sort of confession to a malfeasance that I should be sentenced to, shamed for. They're all written in the moment to serve a function. I don't often sit down and say, well, what is the very nature of the processes I am doing? How can I rewrite all of this so that it's flexible and modular and has configuration files that I can make better? They're often single-purpose screwdrivers designed for a special kind of screw that only comes by once a week. They might be saws that can only cut through a certain kind of metal and will truly kill you and explode if you try them anywhere else, with no indication built into it that this is the case. If a program combines two different elements, most normal people will give it a name like combine and a dash and what it combines, but I'll name it something like waffle maker and leave it to be. And surprisingly, look back years later and go, oh, waffle maker, surely that combines two things together. It's designed by and for me, which is really, honestly, intolerable. Sometimes I'll have a conversation with a real programmer, some of the incredible developers who are at the Internet Archive, or conversations with creators of code that we all still play with today, and I'll realize, fundamentally, this ain't me. I wish it was. I wish I had the sort of discipline in mind that could construct things in a way that followed these rules, that understood them, but I've always been a weirdly creative person in a direction that doesn't follow logic. It might be something that I see when I worked with film, where all that mattered was what fit in the square. Whatever tricks you did to get into frame, that was all you needed to do. If you stretched something over the lens to give it a certain look, that was good enough. If you moved a chair 6 inches out of the way so that it wasn't in the shot, your work was done here. And if you could get from an actor, for just a moment, a feeling coming across in the shot, editing would fix it later to make it seem like they felt that way the whole time. My scripts at the archive are running hundreds of times a day. They take in video and audio from the DNA lounge. They move pamphlets and manuals around. They figure out that something is an ISO or another CD-ROM image and moves it over to the CD collection. They assist me in moving items that are like-minded but not obviously together so that they are together and of use to people down the line. They assist me, they run without me, they surprise me. It's a weird and wonderful world to be moving in, and I'm happy that it extends enough that a person who is not a programmer can still take my most inefficient, bizarre, claptrap scripts and still have them, at the end of the day, do something of value. And while I can't in good conscience tell people to follow my path and script for the sake of scripting and create things just to create them, I can tell you that when I'm looking at my latest project this week, and the names of the scripts are Inbox, Graphinator, Slipshod, and Hotsheet, I feel that even though they make no sense whatsoever, what they do will hopefully make the world a little better. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to Emilio Oliveira, Forrest Fuqua, James Bekoyanu, Mark Pilgrim, Scott Roseanne, Scott McGrady, and Corey Thomas, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. Programming for me is not just an unattainable level. It fundamentally feels like something I don't understand. Maybe I understand it enough to know that I don't understand it. But I have talked to people who work in the programming and computer science realms, the kind of folks who design computer systems themselves, the young, inspiring engineers who have made their own virtual machines inside of Raspberry Pis and other environments. And I understand they're working on a whole other level than I am. I'm not jealous. The world should not be homogeneous. We should have folks for whom this feels like Mozart sitting down at the piano while the rest of us play chopsticks. And we should give those people respect, understanding, and communication, because sometimes the way that they're able to work with this environment is not necessarily compatible with everything else in life. For them, the social aspects, speaking in front of crowds, interacting and explaining their thoughts, that's as hard as the programming language is for people like me.